Are you ready for the Midwest Horse Fair? Blaine's Farm and Fleet sure is. Visit their booths at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin this year, April 19th to the 21st. They'll have exclusive discounts, prize giveaways, and more. See farmandfleet.com for details.
Congratulations to Kyle and Rachel Zwig of Exonia, who were named National Outstanding Young Farmers earlier this spring. They are the seventh generation on the family farm that was purchased from the state of Wisconsin in 1856. Kyle and Rachel and their family milk 70 cows using robotics. They also operate 1,500 acres of cropland using autonomous technology. Kyle tells me all about how the adaptation of new technology on the farm, in addition to conservation efforts and more, led them to be the winners in the National Outstanding Young Farmer Program. Kyle starts by telling me about the competition.
Yeah, so we, in 2022, we competed with a panel of finalists for the state Wisconsin Outstanding Young Farmer Award, and we're just absolutely thrilled to win, especially seeing how many worthy people we were competing against in just the state one alone. The state has a really robust Outstanding Young Farmer Program, and then the year following, for 2023, this year, the state submitted our application to the national organization, and through a competitive hierarchy again, I think there were 30 original candidates submitted, and they picked 10 finalists through a competitive application as well, and send those 10 finalists to the national conference, which was located in Appleton this year. So we attended that and spent a weekend, 5 days actually, with the other 10 finalists. And on Saturday night, the awards banquets, were once again thrilled and shocked to have won one of four positions for winners of the National NOYF Award.
What's the criteria that made you one of the four top outstanding young farmers for the entire United States?
So there's three main areas of criteria that are weighted in the competitive application. So the first and the largest is your progress in agriculture. So that's professionally and personally. It's actually quite rigorous. They analyze everything from production data to financial data, and then to your own kind of personal growth. That accounts for about 50% of the judging material. And the other 50% is split between implementation of conservation practices and community service. So then that can range anywhere from field crop practices or animal husbandry practices to the community aspect, which is serving on different committees or boards, and just your activeness in trying to promote agriculture in general.
While you were interacting with other farmers from around the country, were you comparing yourselves to them? Can you kind of walk me through some of the similarities and differences between you and these other top candidates?
Yeah, so it's really easy to talk about comparing yourself because we thought we were going to lose. The quality, one of the gentlemen and his wife, I believe his name was John Higgeman, one of the other winners, had a very large ranch in Texas along with a commercial greenhouse operation in, it was Alabama, that supplied Lowe's and Home Depot with most of their annuals and perennials. So it was kind of like, well, we know we are definitely not on this scale. So, and that's just one example. There were many others. The fellow dairyman was excellent. And some of what the crop enterprise guys had done was amazing too.
You pick up any notes or numbers? Are you going to stay in contact with some of these people?
Oh, absolutely. We already have a text thread. I have a gentleman in New York that I got to know quite well, and we've been talking about drone implementation and different crop practice implementation as well.
Let's talk about the personal and professional developments that set you apart as an outstanding young farm and farmer. One of those being conservation, which has been a priority for this family farm. Can you tell me more about what you have implemented here?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things we've implemented, obviously we have a lot of conservation-based practice implementation, but I think the largest and kind of the pinnacle to me of our of the conservation regarding our own personal operation is the easement that we sold on our homestead property back in 2010. This was done through a combination of partnerships specifically with the state of Wisconsin, the DATCAP branch of the government, with Tall Pines Conservancy, a private nonprofit. We were selected through the state's Purchase of Agricultural Conservation Easement program amongst 14 other candidates at the time to be a pilot farm for this. And we applied for funding through them and the nonprofit Tall Pines to sell this easement and protect our farm as an operating farmland parcel for perpetuity. And that really gelled well with our family goals and our personal, what we strive for personally, just to continue this 150-plus-year-old farm into the future.
This is the seven-generation farm, the seventh generation's in school today.
Yes.
Can you give me a little bit on the family farm history?
Our family immigrated here in the 1850s. Our family was originally farmers located in, at that time, which would have been the Kingdom of Prussia or Eastern Germany, or today's Eastern Germany. And they immigrated here in 1856 through Ellis Island and worked their way west and settled in the town of Lebanon, which at the time was also kind of a hotspot for a lot of German settlers. It's a very German area, and started on our original 80-acre parcel, which the Victorian style farmhouse still is standing on today. And then from there, you know, it was kind of each generation added some land, some, you know, increased the size of the business, some, and contributed to where the operation is today.
Has dairy always been in the family?
Well, in 1856, dairy was a lot different. It consisted probably of one or two cows. So if that's considered dairy, then yes. The dairy was off-site on another local farm that my grandfather and brother operated together for a short amount of time, and then eventually was moved back home here in the probably 50s and has been here since.
So you said each generation kind of added a little something to it, but one of the biggest changes I think over time is that today things are done autonomously, as you said earlier. Can you tell me about the technology on the farm today?
Yeah, so we went through quite a few dramatic changes in the late 20-teens and early 2020s, kind of just for a variety of reasons that were out of necessity. We transitioned in 2020 to a robotic milking unit where all our cows are housed and milked in a new robotic barn. That was a huge change from our prior stanchion barn setup, but also a huge gain in productivity and a huge improvement in lifestyle. It's probably the single biggest practice implementation since I've been on the farm that's occurred, and probably the most life-changing one as well. We've also diversified now. Just my interest kind of lays in the adoption of autonomy and different new technological practices. So we've kind of expanded into our cropping enterprise with it now, where we are trying to utilize autonomous drones to do different field operations and replace hours on our ground rig sprayer and seeding units.
Let's talk about the dairy tech first. This is pretty cool for me to see, not just that a robot is milking the cows, but it's also making sure that they're being milked when they're supposed to and eating when they're supposed to by kind of routing them through a gate system. Can you explain that for me and how that's been beneficial to your production numbers?
Absolutely. The gate system, I would consider, this system is sold through De La Valle, but it's not unique to any particular piece of equipment that they have. I would consider about a second generation style robotic barn, although some of these were done quite early. In our barn, the cow, everything is based out of off the cow's RFID tag. And when she gets up, our barn is laid out in a circle with a series of one-way gates, where when she comes to a pre-placed sort gate, the gait, reads her ear tag, and based upon her last milking interval, either directs her to a small pen where the only exit is through the robot or back to the feed bunk where she just continues eating or laying down at her free will. Now, what this does is it really increases the ability of you to manage the cow's milking interval one and also time allocation of the unit. So one thing we were disappointed with when we were doing early touring was a lot of robotic farms, they all average, most farms, robotic farms, regardless of style, can average 3 milkings per cow per day. But when you dive into the data a little more and you look at the range of milkings per cow per day, some of the early barns or free flow barns had a huge range, anywhere from 1 to 5 milkings per day to come up with that 3 milking average. Now the sort gate narrows that up to a very tight window, actually as tight as you want, because the cow passes through that electronic sort gate roughly 16 times a day. So you can really narrow in down to the hour when you want that cow to be able to be milked.
And I kind of drilled you on this earlier, but you collect all this data, all this information. What are you doing with it? How are you using it for better management?
Well, that's probably the million-dollar question, right? It can be data overload. The unit's sensor capability and the barn's collection capability, you have to parse through what's useful and what's not. And that's where, you know, the ability of the software and the importance of the software comes in. It's pretty endless what you can look into regarding this data and then how you can manage accordingly.
You compared it to quarterback stats, almost like you're developing a team, right?
Yeah. So the specifically the udder health data, the sensory revolved around the milk analysis. So that would be somatic cell conductivity and infrared. The software allows those data points to be combined on a not only just combined, but also on a per quarter basis, per milking basis, per day basis. So it creates indexes that I referenced as similar to a quarterback rating that can give you health information, production information relating to the cow, and trends amongst those data sets as well.
That's incredible. Did you get an award for your production through?
De La Valle, as part of the NOYF program, was very generous in essentially certifying our data. And we have been the top producing robotic herd in North America for some time now. So that combined with our combined pounds of fat and protein, about 8.5 pounds over the last 12 month period, that I think contributed a lot to our ranking within the Young Farmer Program.
So that's what's happening in the dairy barn. The other thing you mentioned was the spray drone technology that has been able to kind of ease the labor strains for your family.
Yeah, all these things in combination, not any, you know, it's not huge in any one particular equipment implementation other than the robot itself. That was pretty large. But the spray drone or the autonomous spreading and spray drone, we essentially are only just scratching the surface of what may be capable of these things as they develop and continue to be improved upon. Whereas we entered the robot for the milking in, I would consider more the second generation. We entered the autonomous drones more in the first generation. So there's a lot of improvement and change coming, but it is more than evident that they will be overtaking some amount of field operations from traditional rigs. The easiest place to implement these, where it is the biggest no-brainer, is in fungicide application on corn. They are very good at doing that, which is a very low application rate per acre. And it's a very tight time window when these applications have to be done, and there's not enough pilots or planes or helicopters to begin with. That is where you're going to see a lot of the growth in usage of these things first. And then also micronutrient applications, herbicide applications that are legal. The second biggest area will probably be in cover crop seeding, where you can go now into standing crop without damaging anything and extend your application window to when there is growing crop on the land.
Yeah, and keeping you out of the mud.
Yes, yes, yeah. And keeping you out of the mud. You doesn't matter if it rained 4 inches before you fly over a field with a drone. It makes no difference.
Is there anything next for the Zwig family farm? Anything new you've got your eye on? Or are you still basking in the glory of being the National Outstanding Young Farmer?
Well, I feel like even though I'm 35, I start to get progressively more tired. But we're pretty relentless. I'm very interested. I've been watching another farm implementing an autonomous TMR mixer that I am keeping very close tabs on. In fact, there's a few. One of them's a pretty well-known YouTuber, and the other one is in northern Wisconsin, and that would be something that I could see happening in the next 5 years, potentially, just kind of continuing to compound on that labor decrease in efficiency.
Is the seventh generation interested in farming?
That's a good question. So the seventh generation is 6, 6, and 7. We have a set of twins that are 6 and an older guy, barely older, that's 7. There's signs. One of the twins is pretty much anywhere there's an animal or my father or myself working. He's pretty attached at the hip with the farm. But one of the greatest things my dad did for me was never made me feel like I had to come back to the farm. And I think in retrospect, that's why I did. I never had that forced feeling. And I want to make sure I extend that to my kids and make the ability for them to come back, but not the need.
It'll be pretty exciting, at least for them, to have a lot of people coming in June, right, for the dairy breakfast?
Yeah, absolutely. The Watertown Agri Business Club, which is hosts a fairly large regional dairy breakfast in our area every year, is having it at our place. And that's Father's Day weekend. And it's both Saturday and Sunday. It's a 2-day event. And I believe it's from approximately 7 to noon. Open to the public. We're expecting a good turnout, obviously weather depending. And happy to have everybody from the community.
We're talking with Kyle Zwig. He and his wife, Rachel of Exonia, were named the National Outstanding Young Farmers earlier this year. The awards ceremony was held here in Wisconsin. Kyle and Rachel and their family milk 70 cows and operate about 1,500 acres of cropland. If you'd like to check out the farm and the state-of-the-art technology, plan on going to the Watertown Agribusiness Club Dairy Breakfast in June. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.